Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship Church 1001. In the interim, the students will be having their student service beginning in July and going through August, and that'll be at noon. What did I say?
July.
June and July. It's good to be right about things. And I'm glad all of you are here to make that clear. But for now, we get the pleasure of having all of us together, and I really like that. Today, we're kicking off for the 1001 service, and the students, the ones in the student service can be a beneficiary of this new service, of this new series. We're talking about Amazing Grace. Someone made a funny comment that our summer series, do they have to be the name of a hymn? Because last year's series was a hymn, and now this one is Amazing Grace. And I don't think the answer that has to be yes, but it sounds pretty cool to me. So Amazing Grace, why are we going to be talking about it? Well, one reason is it's really good for us to be able to share how God has poured out His grace into our lives. Is it raining or is that? It's raining?
Yeah. That's amazing grace.
That is amazing grace. I'm like, boy, the fan is really loud, but that can't be the fan. So that is amazing grace for us. But God is pouring out His grace into our lives. And one problem I have with grace is that I don't want to receive it. I want to be completely self-sufficient. I don't know about you, but I like having my act together. I like being strong. I like always doing things right. I don't want to be a recipient of forgiveness because I don't ever want to make a mistake. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but I feel that way. And so it can be hard for me to be able to receive God's grace until you begin to realize that that's the very place you want to live. And so that's what we'll be talking about. Different leaders in our city ministry will be getting up, and it's a 13-week series, and it's going to be both men and women. And I'm leaving today for East Asia, and it's been a wild week getting ready for everything. Matthew's graduation was yesterday. And that means Serene has graduated from teaching someone homeschool. So now she only has two instead of three. And we can say, Matthew, it's your life. You go live it, okay? Unless you're in my house, and then there's some rules. No. But it's going to be really good. So I'll be back in July, and I'll enjoy listening to what the people have to say about the series then. But this is a great chance for us to approach God from His Word and have a personal element to sharing some of the stories from our lives. So let's pray and ask God to lead us this morning. Wow, God, thank you for that rain. I can't even believe it's raining so hard. Are everyone's windows up? That's not a prayer, okay? God, I pray everyone's windows are up. And if they aren't, then the person would get up and go close them. There's umbrellas in the lobby. God, I thank you that you are here with us. And God, your grace is amazing. Thank you that we get to talk about your grace to us this summer. Thank you that we are recipients of your grace, and I pray that you would lead us during these times, God, speak through us. Use these times, God, to reveal yourself and change our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of mine, even though this is the series opener, is Am I Enough? Now that, you know, some people, they'll have an immediate response to that going, well, of course not. You know, it's only by God's grace. Okay, well, that's not what I'm talking about. Because these are questions, this question is one that we often ask ourselves. You know, am I enough? You know, we are asked to do something and we feel insufficient to the task. Or there's expectations that are placed on us and we may think it's impossible for us to do it because we've been working on this our whole life, but we haven't changed. I mean, are we really enough? And then what happens when it's clearly shown we are not enough? Are we still? Are we enough? And what I find is that anyone is able to endure something for a day. But it's when you encounter things again and again and again that it can really wear on you. But if we can go to our key verse for the series, it's 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." You know, I don't know if you're catching what that verse says, but he's boasting all the more gladly in his weaknesses. How many of you are able to do that? And if you really think you are, you can go ahead and raise your hand. It's not a trick question. Is it? I really want to be able to boast in my weaknesses. But again, I don't like appearing weak to anybody at any time. And there's a lot of fear involved with that. Because you think that people are going to take advantage of you or you're going to misrepresent God. You know, you're going to, you know, maybe tarnish his name. What do we do? How do we embrace a verse like this? It takes practice, I'll tell you that. And so, if you can go to the next one, I think that a verse that kind of captures the whole spirit of this are the two preceding verses. It's to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. And so it seems like there was an issue in Paul's life that it could be said was bringing him to the end of himself. And he was pleading with God to take it away, and he was pleading again and again, and I don't think he did it just twice. You know, once and then twice more. I think that it was a repeated prayer, God, remove this thorn. And what was God's answer? What was it? I think he said no. So, and God said no. And then it seems apparent here that God explained himself, saying that his grace is sufficient. Is it? I'm accomplishing more than your ability to do whatever you're trying to do or withstand whatever you're trying to withstand or live whatever life of peace in the flesh that you're trying to live. I'm trying to do something much more than that. He was trying to teach Paul something, and it took him coming to the end of himself for God to be able to reveal himself in that way. Have any of you ever been brought to a place where you thought that you couldn't go on and then God met you there? So, what's really weird to me is that the times of greatest intimacy where I've seen God reveal himself to me in ways that I never imagined that he would, times of the greatest intimacy, the times of the greatest power and revelation of the numinous awe of God. And then I can remember immediately after one of those times is that God, if it took, you know, these experiences for me to experience you in this way, I would be willing to do that all over again. That's really good when you say that in the moment. But what I find is that I don't have a very good memory. And when the tough times come a little bit later, I still squirm and I don't want it. And so, what do you like there's different things that can wear us down. One is chronic illness. If you have something that you've had for your whole life and likely will have for the rest of it, and it's causing you great hardship, inconvenience, money, pain, you know, all these things. What do you do with that? And is God good? And are you enough? So what if it's inherent? What if you have some sort of disability? You know, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional or mental, what is God good in that case? And it's something that you're working with for the rest of your life. What if it never changes? Are you okay? Well, I mean, I want to be able to say the answer is yes, but really I want to say with all my heart the answer is no. What I want, you know, one of the stories that I relate to in the Bible more than almost any other is the man at the pool of Bethesda. He had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus comes by and says, "Would you like to be healed?" And I put myself in that man's position. And I'm like, "What do you think? I mean, what kind of question is that?" You know, but what comes out is, well, every time the waters get stirred up, someone else gets down there before me and they get healed and I'm an invalid and what am I supposed to do? And Jesus says, "Pick up your mat and walk." And it just so happens it was a Sabbath, but you know, he's walking, and the guy told me to pick up my mat, and then the Pharisees, "What are you doing carrying your mat on the Sabbath?" He goes, "Well, the man who healed my legs, remember, I saw you this morning, the man who healed my legs said for me to pick up my mat and walk. Who was that?" "Well, I don't even know. Get off my back." You know, and so later he finds out it is Jesus, because Jesus comes up to him and says, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Those aren't usually the words of comfort you expect from Jesus. But it seems like the man's disability may have been his own fault as a result of sin earlier in his life, which is very different from the man who was born blind. Jesus had very different words for him, but I think that man also had a very different spirit. Is that he worshiped God. Does anyone remember what the man who had been an invalid did after he found out it was Jesus? Well, it's not like betrayal. All he did was answer a question. He just said, "It was Jesus." "And get off my back." You know? And so, but I think I've been like this my entire life. And it really makes me struggle in my relationship with God. I would say that, so I have trouble reading and writing, and enough that the psychologist said that most people with my level of disability don't even make it to college, much less finish. So 10 years in and out of school, finally graduated, but this whole area, especially of writing, has been my earliest memories related to school are in this area of struggle. And it works itself out in all different kinds of ways. But what's really hard about it is that I look pretty normal, you know, overweight middle-aged man. And so, you know, I'm working on my gallon, not a six-pack. I find it's very convenient to carry around. So I've been working on this my entire life, and I want. You know, it's like, God, it seems like that unless you come by and say, "Do you want to be healed?" I won't be healed. Is that okay? And so in a moment, you know, so these chronic things, it's like the Chinese water torture of life. I mean, you can handle it for a day or a week or maybe even a month. But when you're handling it year in and year out and it never changes and it seems like it never will, what do you do? And so I like keeping journal entries, and this particular journal entry is on an index card. But I kept it. I tried looking for it downstairs. It's somewhere in my nice, clean office. But it says, Will my weaknesses be the very key to unlock God's ultimate purpose and destiny for me? They are walls and barriers that direct me or force my hand toward or away from certain things, activities, patterns, habits, practices, etc. It seems that, I missed an S. It seems that if we embrace those weaknesses or limitations expressed in thankfulness to God, we are positioned to receive special grace from God. And then I have part of it covered, but then I have some notes to myself, for a to-do list. But then back to weaknesses. Wouldn't it be ironic if the parts of me that I have loathed all my life and that have set me back are, in the Spirit, glorious, divinely redeemed, and appointed design specifications? What if those things that I'm experiencing, my makeup, the way I am, is actually making me the kind of person that's able to have special output in other areas? And so that it's kind of hard to be able to wrap my mind around it. This is a gift card, $100, and I got it through wrangling with AT&T. They charged me $1,000 when I was in Asia last time, but it wasn't my fault. It was their fault, but they didn't accept the blame for it. But they sent me a $100 gift card. But I left it in the envelope. I was tired of it. When I opened it up, it was on my desk. I opened it up, and what do I see? The expiration date's already passed. And then I call them, and they said, "I'm sorry, we don't handle that. You have to call the bank." And so I called the bank, and they said, "I'm sorry, it's not even in our system anymore. We purge." Okay, I don't know about you, but I could use $100. And when I think that it's my own weakness, my own inability, maybe my own stupidity, of not opening a simple letter and letting $100 flush right down the toilet. I don't know about you, but I experience a great level of shame when something like that happens. And this is only one little thing, but this is kind of common, unfortunately. Just little things that I overlook, costing myself and my family things. And it's like, God, what do I do about this? So it makes me want to be a better person, and then I go, well, maybe I won't be one because of this struggle. So can you see the quandary that you'd be in? So is God's grace sufficient in this area, or are your weaknesses so strong do they actually trump the grace of God? Well, I've asked that many times. It's like, God, are my weaknesses, have you given me weaknesses so deep that it even makes you unable to meet them? And that may sound like a ridiculous question, but it's everything that I feel. And so going to 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to start back up to 9 and go there again. So, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And God really is working. And am I saying that it's okay to do things like this? Well, whether it's okay or not, it happened. Do I want it to happen? No, I don't want things like this to happen at all. Does this mean that I'm just going to chalk it up? It'll never change. I'm not even going to try. No, I want to grow. That even though I have these issues in my life that I'm going to be contending with for the rest of my life. And strangely, I don't want God to take them away, because I think that what God has done is he's used them to make me into the kind of person I am. Okay, well, then it becomes, God, I ask that you would help me deal with me. I ask that you would help me believe that this is the way you wanted me to be, and I can trust in you, and I can find rest and peace instead of being all upset. These are things that, God's grace is going to come through for you often in your areas of greatest need or pain. And these questions of, am I enough? Am I okay? Does God love me? Is God even good? They're all going to come up. And if you were to read my journals, you'd find that it goes with me going from believing that that's true all the way to recoiling from it. And often I write those things down, just the belief in it. And then what I find is that I have a reaction in my own spirit. And this is a real struggle for me. And I ask God to come through for me. But what I find is that I'm able to accept it more at almost 54 years of age, 54 next month. Is that God is bringing me on a path of being able to delight in my weaknesses. And one of the reasons is it gives me a pretty good sense of empathy. Another good verse for us to think about in this series is 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Is that God is working, He's revealing Himself. I am receiving healing and grace in those areas that I want. And I'm growing to know God in spirit and in truth, as He really is. And being able to say that I asked God to take this away for my entire life, but now I can truly say that God's grace is sufficient. And He's bringing me to a place where I'm able to boast in my weaknesses, in insults, in mistakes, in all those things, because God is doing something. So I want to rest solely in the grace of God. And when I do, I find out it's amazing, because I see how good He is, and I see that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's pray. God, thank You that You are a God of grace. Amazing grace to us. I pray, Father, that you would protect us from the evil one who would take each one of the different failings in our lives or our weaknesses and use them as accusation against us. But God, thank You that You comfort us in all of our troubles. And thank You that You enable us to comfort others with the same comfort that we ourselves received from You. Father, I pray that You would open our eyes to be able to see Your amazing grace to us. We can't even do that. We need You to do it for us. Open our eyes. Show us Your grace. Reveal Your glory to us. And God, I pray for those of us who are traveling to Asia, Austin today in Asia early in the morning, God, that You would bless our trip. Protect us from the evil one. I ask, God, that You would send Your Holy Spirit to prepare the hearts of the people that we'll talk to. I ask that You would bring in an abundant harvest. Protect us from the evil one who would seek to thwart that. Whenever proclamation of the gospel increases, so does opposition. I ask, God, that You would glorify Yourself through us. Protect us. Protect us from our own inexperience, inability with the culture. I pray, God, that Your grace would abound. Glorify Yourself again. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.